Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Patricia Wynn Brown has had quite the year with her hair theater. She's back with us today to talk about her creation, what she's experienced, and what's coming up. Pat is a performer, producer, director, author, philanthropist, MC, and former captain of the high school cheerleaders. We could not be happier to have her back. Welcome back.
Go team go, Ann. That's what I say. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, you refer to them in your shows and you refer to them on your websites. It's a plural on purpose. We'll get to that later. What are Spit Girls?
Spit Girls, as almost everybody but Ann Fisher knows, are on both sides of your face, and they are little curls that are quite seductive, and you can use dippity-doo and pink tape, form them into the spit curl, keep that on your face all night long, wake up with a slight rash, but it goes away by third period algebra class, and that's a spit curl.
Now, before dippity-doo, did you use spit?
Yes. And didn't your mother spit on you to make your hair go in certain directions? And didn't you vow never to spit on your children? And
yes.
Then you did?
Yes.
How things change. I know. My mother would spit on us. And my mother had grand and would today if she could get to the hairdresser, but she can't. So I do her hair, but I don't do the spit curls. She had huge spit curls in the wedding pictures from my wedding in 1973. They were as big as the Lincoln Levesque Tower.
But when you talk about my darling little spit curls, you're talking to somebody. You're not talking to some inanimate hair.
No.
You're talking to people.
I'm talking to the audience. Lady Gaga has her monsters, and I have my little spit curls. They're everybody in the audience, everybody who reads the books, you are my little spit curls, and I love you. I love spit curls, and I love you, Ann.
I love you too, Pat.
Thank you.
You're working on a new episode.
I am.
And I'm very excited about this because it seems like the whole kit and caboodle kind of an episode. But
it
of course,
does.
There'll be many, many more after that. But tell us what this one's about.
This is Beauty School. And it is, beauty is as beauty does, and I just discovered this weekend. I'm still perfecting, writing the show, creating all the different stories and songs that'll go with it. But I thought there was a song on the old Mickey Mouse Club in the 1950s called Pretty Is as Pretty Does, which is what I was using as a subtitle. But then I found this video just by chance, and it's Beauty Is as Beauty Does, and this has stuck in my mind all my life, because Bobby went to the little door at the Mickey Mouse Club and he knocks on it, and there's Arlene, and he said, oh, these are words to live by, and then she sang the song, Beauty Is as Beauty Does. That's what wise men say, and if you want to be beautiful, do this every day. And then you have to help someone who's feeling blue, let kindness be your guide, for beauty isn't always looks, it's what you've got inside. And so that's what beauty school is all about, being good to yourself and helping others. And you can change the world doing that. But first, we have to take care of ourselves.
And, of course, humor is involved.
Humor is involved because laughter is the best medicine. And laughter also makes us look better. And our smile is just the best piece of jewelry we've ever had.
Is, you know, I often wonder, is the effect of humor on us a chemical reaction, or is it an emotional reaction, or is it a little bit of each, kind of like chicken soup?
It's medicinal like chicken soup, and I think we can, as Abraham Lincoln said, choose to be happy. We do have a choice. We can just click into that, even though circumstances may be swirling around us. I think with laughter, you know, they have those laughter clubs in India where people go and they just start laughing and they start to feel better.
I could really get into that.
I could too. Let's start doing it.
Well, Pat Snyder is a laughter ambassador or something like that.
Sure, because if you start laughing, I don't know, when you're having a rough day, if there's something that you laugh at, that you can go home and start laughing at. One of the things that makes me laugh, I know it's a terrible TV show, but I love it, is Reno 911. And that show makes me laugh so much. The Marx Brothers make me laugh. Arrested Development, I laugh till I cry. If you can have some of those little antidotes to your sadness, it really makes a difference. And they're discovering that if you can laugh, if you can get into your happiness workplace, you can really raise your immunities and you look better. You can see the people on the street who are sad, and it shows in their faces. They look like they feel that life is not worth living. And I watched the great philosopher Tyra Banks this past weekend, and I forced Captain Stevie to do so. I tied him to his chair, and we watched this show, and I forget the name. It's like Top Model Obsessed or something. And they did this bit.
Cable.
Yeah. And they did this bit where the models who are competing would go outside their hotel room, and then they would act like the paparazzi was taking their picture, and then they had to show their face, and they said, oh, you always have to have a smile on your face because you never know when the paparazzi are going to attack you. And Tyra said, keep your face all drawn up and smiling at all times, 24 hours a day, which is a strain, but she has such high standards for herself and others. You understand that.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. And my guest, if you don't recognize her voice, I'll just have to tell you, it's Patricia Wynn Brown, Patty Brown.
Sure.
Performer, producer, director, author, philanthropist, MC, and former captain of the high school cheerleader. She's also creator of Hair Theater. We're talking about her newest show. It's Beauty School.
Beauty School.
Now, why Beauty School? Why not Beauty Parlor?
Well, Beauty Parlor is great, except Beauty School, we will actually learn things. We will actually learn how to live our lives better. And if we have certain passions about what we want to do in the world, we will learn to have the courage and strength to make those changes. And everybody at the end actually graduates from Beauty School. So the premiere preview is in September, September 26th. And we will have a graduation at the end. And we will have a valedictorian beauty queen. Quite a combination. It's like sweet and sour pork.
Tell us more about it. We'll also put a link on our website at wosu.org/allsides to a link to Patty's new website, Beauty School website. Beauty School, is it?
It's hairtheaterbeautyschool.com.
And we'll put a link to that. But it's going to be at?
It'll be at Bishop Watterson High School, the home of Eric Clapton's wife. She went to school there a year ahead of my son. And, of course, always with us will be Annette Funicello, who has this day job as principal of the high school, Marion Hudson, who's a wonderful principal.
Who's been in your other shows.
She must be in. She tries to get out, but the show is like the mafia. I keep drawing her back in and putting the mouse ears on her because she looks exactly like Annette Funicello.
She does.
And her middle name really is Annette. So why shouldn't she be this character?
It's meant to be.
Yeah, and she said, well, you know, nobody knows who Annette Funicello is except for you. And I said, I don't care. I get a big kick out of this. And I do.
So it's going to be at Bishop Watterson.
It is.
September
26th, Sunday, September 26th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And tickets are selling now. People are already buying tickets.
And it's a fundraiser,
fundraiser. Two shows a year are usually fundraisers, sometimes three. So the proceeds from the show will go to the Hair Theater Wig Fund, housed at the Columbus Foundation, assisting Central Ohio women with wigs and hats, women and girls. It's available at every hospital in Columbus and through three wig shops. And this has been going on since 2001, and we've helped 645 women and girls in Central Ohio, and they are deeply appreciative.
Tell me again, you've talked about it before, but it bears repeating, you know, why you decided that this was a need that needed to be filled, needed to be met.
Well, when I first started Hair Theater with three other women, Terry Abel, my sister, Kathy Evans, and Allison O'Grady, we wanted to do something good for others with part of our fee. So we wanted to take a percentage of our performance fee and give back. So we saw this article in the paper about Over My Head Wig Shop, and we wanted to see about helping with wigs. So I started with $100 in a little white envelope, and then through help with from the Columbus Foundation, figured out how to do a donor-specified fund. And I had been diagnosed with cancer in 1997, melanoma. There have been new developments about treatment for melanoma today in the news, which is really, really good to hear. So we started the fund there, and it has just grown and blossomed. And wigs are about $350 each. And when I was diagnosed, I went to the James, and Dr. Walker, rest his soul, he's now deceased, but he told me I had melanoma, and I had no idea what that was, even. I didn't know what they were talking about, but when the nurse grabbed my hand and held my hand, I knew something was up.
You and always know when they grab your hand.
That's the mm-hmm. giveaway. Mm-hmm. So I was there by myself, and I thought, uh-oh, first thing that came into my mind, I'm going to lose my hair. And then the second thing was, ooh, and I might die, in that order. And when I talk to other women, sometimes the treatment is worse than the disease diagnosis itself. Not for everybody. A lot of people come to terms with it and do just fine with loss of hair. But for many, many women, when they see that hair start to go down the drain, it's a very traumatic moment for them. My brother-in-law just passed away from pancreatic and liver cancer, Brad Brown, on Mother's Day. And he started to lose his hair a couple weeks before he passed away, and he had a beautiful head of hair, and that really affected him too. So it affects men and women. The wig fund itself is solely for women and girls, but it plays such a huge role in people's lives. It truly is all about the hair. But at Hair Theater, whether your hair is there or not, yours or store-bought, you are welcome to attend.
Men and women too.
Men and women. Men love the hijinks. They get into seeing how we think, and they really do get sort of an inside look into women's psyches. In fact, every woman, I bet all the women listening today, and some of the men, have a significant hairdo story, something good, bad, or ugly that happened to their hair. I had one woman tell me at a show that she was on a farm and a donkey ate her ponytail. A donkey on her grandmother's farm ate her ponytail. I mean, this is what happens. And people, call in with your hair stories.
Call in with your hair stories, and if you do, at the end of the hour, I'll tell you my hair story.
I want to hear it.
It goes all the way back to the fifth grade.
Oh.
So it stuck with me. Nothing worse has happened since the fifth grade.
And they do not, mother will not write a note for hairdo disaster. No. Dear teacher, Ann couldn't come to school today because of her hairdo disaster. You have to march in and face the music.
Oh, my Lord in heaven.
Yes.
All right. So call in with your hair stories. We'd love to hear them. And return with us in a few minutes on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
I'm Neil Conan. In the week ahead on Talk of the Nation, BP continues its high-stakes effort to contain the oil. Wind and currents may push the oil onto Florida and maybe around it and up the East Coast. We'll bring you scenes from the spill. Plus, 10 primaries have the political junkie pretty excited. And, of course, our opinion page. Stay tuned for Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation begins this afternoon at 2 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 62 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:20 this morning. Sunshine today and a high of 72. Clear skies tonight, a low of 52. Some sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 72 degrees, and then rain is likely Tuesday night and a low right around 60. Also expect rain for Wednesday and a high of 80. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And maybe Associate Producer Amy Jurevich has time to check Facebook if you want to go to Facebook at All Sides with Ann Fisher on Facebook. And either way, or any of those ways, leave us a message or give us a call and let us know what your hair, what are we calling it?
A significant hairdo moment in your life.
Significant hairdo moment in your life. We'd love to hear them.
Oh, so. I love those stories. I jot them down. They're so interesting. They're very defining. I did a workshop once with women. We had a hair theater slumber party. Everybody brought in a photo of a significant hairdo, and they told their stories of what was happening in your life. You know exactly what was happening from what is happening on top of your head. I talk about that in Hara Baloo, the book. And each woman just held up a, they didn't plan this. They brought their picture, and then they told the story of what was happening. People would laugh hysterically. People would cry. They would. It, a lot of it had to do with their mothers and their sisters and their ex-boyfriends. It is very revealing. So I think that psychiatrists should have women bring in 10 pictures of their hairdos through their life and talk about those. I think that you'd be cured in probably 2 sessions.
Why? What is it about hair? Hair, you said our smile's our greatest piece of jewelry.
And our hair is our one of our most defining characteristics. And I heard on the Today Show did a whole week about hair. And they called it, it's all about the hair. And one of the women said, and this is true, we project to the world who we want to be by our hair. And when it goes away, my cousin, who did lose her hair during cancer, said, I had to learn who I was again. Shelley said, I didn't know who I was. But then I learned and I felt better. And I was reading in the paper this morning about the class from 40 years ago, yeah. 1970. I was a freshman at OU when all of this occurred. And the senior class is going to graduate finally.
They canceled graduation that
year. They canceled because of the riots and Ohio University closed. Our hair was such a significant part of that whole era, because I had a Supremes bouffant hairdo when I graduated from Bishop Reedy in 1969. But when I got down to OU, they were hippies. So I let my hair grow long, and the longer the better, and you never cut it. And even if it was straight, you had to make it straighter, and you'd use this orange juice can in a ponytail to put it up on top of your head or a beer can. And hair really, really, the hair and the music from that era was so significant. And I don't know if they'll talk about it at this graduation ceremony, but I was so happy to see that this class finally be able to graduate, because I have thought about that. And in the post, the day that the school closed, May 15th, our parents, we couldn't call our parents. No one could come and get us. I mean, no one knew when to come to get us or how, because we were under martial law and the phones were all down. But they came to get us. And the post that day, it says in the article, for the weather report, the sky has fallen. It was just such a really interesting, very difficult time in our history. So I'll bet all of those people that are graduating this weekend had really long hair.
Or wish they had.
Yes.
You know, that was probably that brief and shining moment when my hair straight was truly in style. And then Farrah Fawcett came around.
Yes.
With that feathered shag thing that, you know, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know what to do.
What we didn't know, and what I'm going to reveal for the first time, and rest her soul, is that they used the same wires that they used for Peter Pan to fly Peter Pan across the stage with her hair. No human woman is able to achieve that look. That was done with smoke, mirrors, wires.
You think?
And chewing gum and duct tape. Uh-huh. The secret is now revealed.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Patty Brown. That's Patricia Wynn Brown, founder of Hair Theater. She's back with us today to talk about her creation and her new creation. What's coming up? The next show is Beauty School, and you can find out more about it on hairtheaterbeautyschool.com.
That's it. Yes. And it's, you know, what's fun about this website is I did it myself.
It's very nice.
Thank you, because I really don't know how to do this kind of stuff, because I'm still using, you know, CorrecType and, you know, to make corrections on my my little essays. But it was so easy. I mean, you have to learn how to do it, but it was so easy to do, and I can put videos up there and all kinds of stuff up there and pictures. So the website itself is a show in and of itself, I think. And you've got to see, people should go, hairtheaterbeautyschool.com. You've got to see the newsreel of the 1950s knife-throwing mother with her two little daughters. If you think your bang cutting was bad, just think of these poor little children whose mother was throwing knives at them in an act. And the big one, the bigger one.
She wasn't even mad at him.
She wasn't mad. It was part of her act. And the big one stands there stock still. But the little one wiggles around, and you worry about her well-being. And there's an audience there of people watching, including two nuns, watching a mother throw knives at her children. What an act.
There is, of course, Jackie O.
Jackie O.
is on the opening page.
Well, that, she is not on the opening page. It's Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, it's Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn is the patron saint of beauty school. But you know I adore Jackie.
I was channeling Jackie then, because you're right, it's Audrey. I don't know what came over me.
She's just the patron saint, and then Jackie is with me all the time with her eyes over my entranceway, because the eyes of Jackie are upon me, and I do the WWJD.
Right.
What would Jackie do?
Jackie do.
You can figure everything out, WWJD.
What? And, of course, there's going to be a biopic on her coming up with, what's her name?
Who's doing it? I don't even know.
Tom Cruise's wife.
Oh, Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes, thank you.
Oh, an Ohio girl.
An Ohio girl.
She could be the young Jackie. She's mm-hmm. got that young Jackie look. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be looking forward to that. I love all things Jackie.
Now, why Audrey Hepburn, patron saint of beauty school?
She is a beauty inside and out, just like we learned on Mickey Mouse Club. She was just absolutely gorgeous. And then she did good work for UNICEF and remained beautiful into her aging years, although she had her crow's feet and she, you know, looked like a woman of her age. And I'm just so happy that we had her in the world. And I was so happy to hear the other day that directors are discouraging actresses from using Botox, from slice and dicing their faces, from putting collagen in their lips so that they look like blowfish, because it stops your expression, your facial expression. So Audrey Hepburn was a woman who aged. She aged, and she had, we'll use some of her words at the end at the graduation ceremony, of what she says true beauty is, and we'll take the Audrey code of honor.
I would say, you know, wouldn't you, the best older actresses, and older is kind of a loosely defined older, but did not go that route.
I mean, maybe we don't know.
They did it very well.
She had really good work, which is a whole different story. Yeah. Good work. And Betty White's been pushing the envelope for all of us, which I'm very happy about. And the singer, I was happy to hear this on the news. I don't know if you know Sharon Jones, the singer, who's been around a long time, rock, blues, rhythm singer. And they said, she made it big, and she's in her 50s, and it took this long. This is great, because now you can go like to your 70s and finally get your big break. And then in a couple of years, it'll be 80s. So ollie, ollie, in free, I say.
We have an email. If you'd like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org, or you can call us, 614-292-8513, and tell us your hair story, your significant hair story, hairdo story. This one's from an OU grad.
Oh.
My dental hygienist was cleaning my teeth with the belt and wheel drill. She had long, bushy hair, and as she reached for the back molar, sure enough, it became entangled in the belt.
Oh, no.
The next 20 minutes was spent with her slowly extracting her hair out of the wheels. Ouch.
Oh, that hurts so much. See, it can be a life and death situation.
Mine is along
hair.
Those lines, but you'll have to send in your stories.
Oh, my gosh. That is almost painful to think about. Isn't the dental experience painful
enough
without that? Although, I have to say, our dentists, the good Hoffmans, they're part of the show. She's La Fonda, and he's Uncle Rico. But they make it really fun for all. And they understand hair because of the show. So I think they probably teach the hygienists, don't get that hair caught up in there.
My two favorite characters from Napoleon Dynamite, La Fonda and Uncle Rico.
Don't you love that movie?
Yes, yes. We have Paul. Is calling with two hair stories. Paul, you're on the air, and you say they're both brief.
I hope so.
Okay.
One was, I don't know, I must have been, 13 or something like that, and one of my best friends offered to cut my hair. Richard Devendorf, to actually name him.
Okay, Richard.
And, that's a shout-out. And, he had, trimmers set on, like, a 16th of an inch or something, and just started at the nape of my neck and zipped it right up to the crown. I mean,
just one strip?
Just one strip. I would have killed him if he weren't stronger than I was. You can only imagine how long it takes to grow that back out. Okay, that's number one.
Now, Paul,
wait.
We have so many questions for you. How old were you when this happened?
About 13, I think.
And how long was your hair to start with?
Oh, maybe a couple inches. I hadn't hit the hippie stage yet.
What did your mother say?
Oh, my mother was, at that point, she'd already seen enough horrors to
You had already traumatized her in other ways.
Yeah. She was beyond concern about hair. I'm the oldest of six anyway.
We're going to have to put Richard Diebendorf on the bus with the mothers who gave their children the Tony Home Permanent. I have a bus waiting outside of every show.
No.
We take them straight to prison.
Yeah. Now, I have a second.
I hope my mom's listening. Yeah, go on, Paul.
Second. I was very popular in I went to parochial school. So it was like, I don't know, now we have middle school, but back then it was the grades 1 through 8 and then high school. Anyway, for some reason, the class that was ahead of my class had some individuals who really had a very different outlook on life, as opposed to like sort of normal people. Well, I don't know. One day on the playground, which was the church parking lot, the line of demarcation, girls on one side, boys on the other, and I don't know, they just decided it would be amusing to pick me up and use me as a battering ram. This was not voluntary on my part.
Poor Paul.
No, yeah. I know. 6-7 guys picked me up and ran me head first into a light pole. It was beautiful. I mean, it was just a fountain. Back then when I had hair, it was very, very red hair. And then there's this blooming, plumes of blood, I guess you would call it. Yeah.
And, for lack of a better word.
How do you say
in
our language?
For lack of a better word. So, and I'm walking, around here, and I have to cross the street to get to the, the school nurse and all that. I'm conscious, but I can't get the stuff to stop anyway. And then suddenly, what seemed to be a pretty funny joke was like, oh my God, what did we do? And anyway, so I get to the emergency room. There's my dad. Yeah. Who is a retired physician, but he was not retired at the time. And he's like, what did you do now?
So
this is right on the crown. So I have to shave. Basically the crown of my head.
You're laughing to hide the tears, aren't you, Paul?
Paul, this is trauma for you.
There were worse humiliations.
Was Richard Diebendorf involved in this crime?
No, Diebendorf was not. He was a good friend. Yeah, he was crazy.
Is he still in this city, Paul?
No. Oh. He lives in, like, Caro, Michigan.
Oh, I know where
that
is.
Oh, we can Google him. Don't worry.
He lives in the Pinky.
And last I knew, he taught special needs children. He's a nice guy and an excellent musician.
Right.
I mean, who knows? At 13, you don't know what you're doing. At least if you're a guy, you certainly do.
Paul, you have just proved this, how important this is for men as well as women. I am so glad you called.
I had the patch right through the middle of my head. Oh. And, of course, by then, I was more like in the 16 or 15 range or something. So I had, I was working on trying to get the more hair.
The cool looks, right.
Yeah, so it was extra special to have that stripe going right through the crown, right down to the forehead. Anyway, so nice talk, ladies.
Thank you very much for calling in, Paul, and you have our sympathies.
And now I don't worry about it because it just disappears before it even turns gray.
I believe that's because of Richard Diebendorf, too.
Yeah.
Let's blame Richard for everything from now on. Paul, thanks for the call and thanks for listening.
Bye.
Take care.
Did Richard have anything to do with the BP spill?
Yeah. Poor Richard Diebendorf. Maybe he has family in town that can,
please call in and defend him.
Speak for him, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, as did Crystal. Crystal wrote on Facebook, after struggling many mornings to brush my long hair without me complaining about how much it hurt, my mom decided to cut my hair in the same style my brother wore, a bowl cut with the hair shaved in the back.
Oh.
I had this haircut from the age of 7 to 12. I remember just like it was yesterday, people complimenting my mom on having two cute sons.
Oh,
I've since
Crystal.
Forgiven her, but cringe anytime I visit my parents' house and see school pictures, hanging on the wall. I'm certain these pictures will haunt me on wedding day. Oh, and you're young, Crystal.
Oh, she's young now.
Yeah, she says they'll haunt her on her wedding day.
Oh, this
of course, I was older when I got married, so I shouldn't make any assumptions. But.
Well, it's really, it's comical to some extent, but it's very significant when you have sister-brother look-alike haircuts. That's something. And my sister, the pretty one, had long, blonde, curly hair, and my mother let it grow, but my hair was just a little bush. And so my brother and I would go to the barbershop and have our hair cut together. And so I understand what she feels like, because that it's a tough thing. But maybe she had that tangly hair where it was just too much pain for her, and she just needed to have it lopped off because she was a very active young lady.
Oh, see, this is dredging up all kinds of hair stories for me that, I just can't go there. So, Crystal, thanks for going there for me.
Thank you, Crystal.
We have to take a short break, and then we'll return with more stories and more chit-chat with Patricia Wynn Brown. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and communicate with us that way. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
As a second-generation business owner, new father, and musician at night, keeping informed about the world is necessary and difficult. Whether it's Terry Gross at lunch, Bluegrass Ramble on the weekend, or the BBC at night, WOSU is always on my radio. This is Matthew Sullivan, and WOSU is my source for the information I need to be an informed business owner and father, and the entertainment and music I need to unwind my busy brain.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here, and we'll get an update on the oil spill response from the U.S. Coast Guard. And then we'll discuss severe weather season with NBC4 meteorologist Ben Gelber. Join us for All Sides, Hour 2, beginning at 11, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And it's 63 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:40 this morning. Thanks for joining us today. Sunshine today and a high of 72. Clear skies tonight and a few clouds move in during the night, a low of 52 degrees. Some sunshine for Tuesday. Also a slight chance of afternoon rain, just a slight chance, and a high of 72. And then rain is likely Tuesday night, a low of 60 degrees. More rain on Wednesday and a high of 80. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Patricia Wynn Brown. She is creator of Hair Theater. Perhaps you've heard of her. Perhaps you've heard of Hair Theater. She has a new production coming out in September. It's about the beauty school. Pat is... was a rocket for One Shining Day. We've heard that story before. She's also a three-time winner of the James Thurber Summer Series Humor Award. She's been recognized by Business First newspaper as a finalist for Healthcare Hero. And Sunny 95 Radio named her one of the 20 outstanding women you should know. I'm going to say that WOSU Radio will name you as one of the top 10 women.
I'm in the top 10. Thank you very much. I am so honored. And is there a crown with this?
I can get one.
I would like one.
That's the first thing I asked when I found out I was going to be the not-so-grand marshal for the Doodah Parade this year.
Oh.
And they're like, no, there's no crown. I said tiara.
Something.
Is there a tiara? A satin sash, apparently.
A scepter.
I might be blowing that right now by whining about it in the first place.
I congratulate you, and I bow to you, Ann Fisher.
I'm very excited.
Now, what is the title?
Not-so-grand marshal.
Not-so-grand marshal.
Right. Right.
Oh, I hope you dress appropriately. Get an old prom dress.
I don't even know what to wear. I don't know what to do.
Go gaudy.
Okay.
Two words of advice. And comfortable.
Can't go wrong. I thought instead of All Sides with Ann Fisher, it could be 3D Ann Fisher.
Well, that would be good. Everybody could wear. You could wear 3D glasses and look at everybody else. In 3D.
I have all sorts of ideas. So,
but at the Doodah Parade, everybody's seeing about 5D, I believe.
Yes, exactly.
I marched in it.
They're hard to keep up. Well, now, what did you march in?
We were at the very beginning, and I wrote for one of the first alternative newspapers in Columbus called The View After Dark, Bill Eastup, Jeff Kaplan. And we marched with their blow-up doll, whose name was Ava Grande, and they had a coffin. And so I was in the coffin with Ava, and then we all marched, and we had our young son with us, and he had to march. They should have turned us into Franklin County Children's Services, and maybe they did. But I love that parade.
Well, I remember telling my son that I was given this incredible honor, and I said, "Have you ever heard of the Doodah Parade?" He's like, "Duh," and then I said, "Well, I'm going to be Grand Marshal," and you should have seen his face light up. I haven't seen it like that, just this flash of pride.
All of the awards and recognitions that you've received, but the un-Grand Marshal.
He's very excited.
I am excited for you,
yes.
And I want to see pictures.
We finally have somewhere to go on 4th of July.
Perfect.
So be there in the short north for the Doodah Parade. Pat, it's been a tough year.
Yeah.
For you. I've been thinking about you a lot.
Thank you very much.
Here Theater's wonderful. The show that was on the past year, you had two shows that I knew of.
Here in Columbus.
Here in Columbus, of course. And it was Hey Dude, Where's My Hair? Dude, Where's My Hair? And it's with some very, very special kids.
Wonderful children.
Tell us about that show.
Wonderful children. And the kids have lost their hair due to their medical treatments. There's six children in the show. And they do their little hairdo monologues about what happened to them, but more about their philosophy in life and facing the hardships that they've faced and what their families go through and their love for their families. But sadly, two of my young dudes passed away. Samantha passed away in October, and Seth passed away in March. But they were such troopers, both of them, for the shows, and they both believed that the show must go on. And they taught me so much about living life to the fullest, having joy, having laughter, no matter what's happening around you. And they had these little sayings in their stories, and they lived these sayings. And Samantha said, God brought you to it, and God will get you through it. And I have often said that over the past year. And Seth said, courage is not the absence of fear. And it means sometimes we're scared, just so scared. But courage means you just keep going forward, and you decide that you're going to have a good life, and you're going to enjoy people and enjoy the things that you're used to doing. They dealt with their sadness. They dealt with the complexities of their illnesses and the difficulties for their families in dealing with this, but they help guide all of us through it. And the four remaining dudes are doing really well. Hannah wrote a story for the Dispatch first-person column about her journey.
Very nicely done as well.
Very nicely done. And Harrison was on television for the Children's Miracle Network. And Noah is doing Blue Jacket activities, and Corinne continues to be such a talent singing and acting. So they're doing really great. I love my dudes.
Seth was the boy who played the guitar?
Yes, he played the guitar, and that is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the kids' monologues on YouTube. It's under Mega Dude Show at YouTube, and you'll see each of their performances. All are special. And Samantha's grandmother, Grandma Mimi, read her story for her, because she had passed away before this past show. But do see these little videos, and do see Seth and his story about how to live our lives, and his beautiful guitar playing accompanied by Dave Bott on the piano. It's quite
That's
a
right.
performance. He's very talented. These children are so talented, and they've gone on to use their gifts to help other people. So they understand beauty school, too. They know that our job is we've got to take care of ourselves, and then we need to share that with other people and help other people to feel good.
And it's so wonderful. You know, we say a lot about kids, they just won't understand this, they just won't understand that, but they so get the humor and
yes.
the subtle significance of humor in the face of who knows what, uncertainty.
They understand dark humor. They understand that humor is the way we thrive. They were big on thriving, not just surviving. And there's a big difference. And we bring that into the beauty school show with the Thrive Theory jewelry, Jen Bajek's jewelry.
Yeah, you get kind of like a pin or a sorority pin kind of a thing.
It's an honor roll society pin, and you get pinned at the September 26th show of beauty school, and every audience member will receive a pin. And I should say, you can get bargain tickets, $5 off, if you order them by June 15th. So that's this week. If you go on hairtheaterbeautyschool.com, everyone at the door will get their Honor Society pin, and then the valedictorian will get a very special Thrive Theory pin.
So go to WOSU.org/allsides if you can't remember all that, and we'll have a link to hairtheaterbeautyschool.com ready, willing, and able to do its work. It's online magic for you, Jill. You just click on it, and you'll go right there, and you can get more information about it. My guest is Pat Wynn Brown. She is the creator of Hair Theater. She's with us till the end of the hour, and we are still taking those calls and letters regarding your significant
hairdo moment.
Significant hairdo moment. I need at least one more before I'll spill the beans.
I cannot
online.
Wait to hear this from you, the grand Marshall.
Well, as I hear other people's stories, I realize I have a lot of hairdo stories in me.
Yes.
You know, it kind of it triggers, but I'm going to stick with my original one.
Stick with your main, the one that pops into your head
first is
your most significant one.
Right. And I will stick with that. And I'm forming the story in my mind, although it's kind of hard not to just spill it out. But I need one more story to give me courage to tell mine. So 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and do it that way, whatever works for you. Now, Patty, you say that beauty school dropouts are welcome.
They are welcome.
What do you mean by that?
Beauty school dropouts are people who have sort of given up. They just don't see the good in trying to change the world. They feel that everything's stacked against them, that it's no use trying, that everybody's fighting in Congress, the oil is spilling all over the Gulf Coast, and they stop gussying up a little bit, and they just slap on some sweatpants and go out for the day. And the beauty school dropouts just need to have a little more hope about what we can each do individually, because what we say at beauty school, it only costs 44 cents to change the world, one stamp. You can write a letter that will change somebody's life that day, change a policy, change a law, and slap on a little lipstick and put yourself together and head out for your day, chin up, shoulders back. If you stand up straight, you lose 5 pounds. You know that. So, and put your smile on, your best jewelry, and go out there and smile at the people that you see. When you see people on the street, actually acknowledge them. It'll make your day, and it'll make somebody else's day too. So I will have a little special education section of the show for some of the beauty school dropouts, and also for girls who should have gone to reform school but somehow escaped going to reform school. And we know who you are out there. I may be looking at one across the table.
614-292-8513, or you can go to allsides@wosu.org and just email that. And I would just like to note that we've had three men
yes.
call. And
you know
Trent,
why?
You're the third. Why? Why, Patty?
Ann, you and I have the sexiest voices in the universe.
Is that why, Trent?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good answer. So what's your story?
I'm a 56-year-old born in the mid-50s down in Louisiana, and when we were children, not having a lot of money to buy toys, my parents taught us how to make dolls. I had five sisters, and we would take grass string and unbraided, stick it in a Coke bottle, and then they would teach my sisters to braid and comb hair and what have you. Well, some of the boys kind of learned it a little bit also. To get to the point, I became a single parent for a few years back in the mid-80s, and I had a five-year-old daughter that I had every other week. And when I would, you know, struggle with combing and brushing and braiding her hair, she didn't like it very much. You know, she said I wasn't being very tender with her head, and the hair just didn't look very good, to be honest with you. And I was telling her the story about the dolls and told her how lucky she was to have a dad that learned how to braid hair doing these dolls. She said, if I was really lucky, you still have a doll and take me somewhere else to get my hair done. So I would have to drive her over to my sister's house on the other side of town every other day to have my sister to kind of get the tangles out. I was doing an okay job at it, but I will never forget that statement from her. She's now 25 years old, just got out of graduate school, wonderful daughter, and she has beautiful hair. So I didn't completely turn her.
You didn't do any damage.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Trent, that is such a wonderful story.
Trent, we are hereby naming you our valedictorian of the day for beauty school, because when I think of you as the dad fixing the little girl's hair, that is just such a sweet, even though she felt that you weren't able to do it correctly, let me just assure you, Trent, none of us wanted our mothers to be our hairdressers. We all complained about every single thing that they did to our hair, and it hurt our head, and they didn't have the right style, and they're so old-fashioned, and what did they know? They're old. They're 30 years old. So they, you know, I tip my cap to you, Trent. I think that's so endearing to hear.
What a great story.
Okay.
You know, your daughter must be very proud. Thank you for calling, Trent.
Okay. Thank you.
You're giving me courage.
Congratulations, valedictorian Trent.
Yes. Congratulations, Trent. And Carla, real quick. Carla, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, just really quick. I remember my spit curls. I remember my mom showing us how, you know, how you have to get your finger in your mouth and then take that little spindle of hair next to your ear and your earlobe, twist it around your index finger, and then just let it dry. And it stayed perfectly that way. But I also have a question. When I was growing up, do you remember the first detanglers that basically looked like hedge trimmers, only they were supposed to help you smoothly comb your hair?
What did they look like? Did they have, like, comb things in them?
Yeah, they had comb teeth. They were made by Ronco or General Electric, and they basically just tore the hell out. Pardon me.
Anything made by Ronco.
Did
I just say that on the air?
Did you use it on tomatoes?
We might as well have.
Did it leave the seeds intact in your hair is the question.
Well, what I'm wondering is, when I was growing up, we weren't told to condition our hair as well. And once I hit puberty, or at least in that early part of puberty before you really start to show, like around 9 or 10, when the hormones started flowing, my hair became like just corkscrew curly.
Mm.
And my mom grew up in the 50s, so when was hair conditioner introduced and finally, you know, told to the public en masse, you need to do this or you are basically turning your hair brittle?
It's true. And conditioner, maybe it came in after the Breck girls when we started really focusing on shampoos.
I want to say the 60s.
Yeah, and we didn't have it either. My hair was okay because it was short cut like my brother's, as we said, but my sister would just cry with these tangles in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful invention, and we should probably send a note of thanks to that inventor because it really did save our hair.
And when you think of how women got their straight hair curled in the 30s, my God, it's amazing that American women weren't bald en masse.
Well, mm-hmm. some of them went bald with it, mm-hmm. of over processing it, and the hair dyes that were used then. I think Jean Harlow's hair all fell out from dyeing
it so much.
It was so horrible for your hair. And black dye for a long time became associated later with brain tumors.
Oh, my God.
Because it was so pungent. But we go to great lengths, don't we, Carla, in order to look our best. But we have to remember, it's great to look our best on the outside, but we have to work on the inside too.
Oh, totally. And I mean, just even if it's not, you just always have to condition your hair. Even if your child has naturally straight hair and they have all kinds of great, like, skin oil on their scalp, still need the protection of that conditioner. And now they need to add sunscreen.
Well, I'll tell you what. My story about my hair has to do with changing the very nature of my hair when I was in the fifth grade. So, Carla, listen up. Thank you for your call. And take
Thanks,
care.
Thanks, Carla.
Because we're running out of time, I made the promise, so I have to follow through. I was in the fifth grade. My brother was in the sixth grade, and his friend was Brian, and he was really cute. And whenever Brian came over, I had a heightened sense of awareness about the world. And anyways, it was one of those lazy Sundays. I think Mom and Dad were taking a nap, and I decided, as we often did in my house, to make a cake. And I made the cake, and then I was making the buttercream frosting, because back this was before you had canned frosting. And I went, and, you know, I was making the buttercream frosting, and I got the mixer going, and I've got the butter in there and the powdered sugar and the milk. And all of a sudden, I'm going, and it's almost done. It's almost got to that perfect consistency. I can't wait. And my brother walks in, and I go, hey. And he goes, hey. He goes, Brian's coming over in a second. And I go, really? And I just went into
a swoon.
And all of a sudden, I realized that my hair was getting pulled into the ball. And the next thing I know, the mixer was up against my scalp, and it was pulling my hair off. And finally, I had the presence of mind to turn off the mixer. I was so embarrassed, I ran in the bathroom because Brian's coming over, and I wrapped my hair in a towel with the mixers inside my hair.
Oh.
And told him
as dangly earrings.
My hair was never the same ever, ever, ever. So we've run out of time, Patty, but there's the story.
That is a wonderful story. So you're very brave to go on with life.
That's long hair, buttercream frosting story. So what are you going to do?
I don't know. All we can say is I'm wishing everybody a good hair day, and I say goodbye to Richard Diebendorf wherever you are.
Yes, Richard Diebendorf. And Paul, thank you. And Trent, of course, is our valedictorian.
He's our valedictorian, okay. And Carla is our bridesmaid.
Will you come back so we can talk about this some more?
Yeah, I'll come back tomorrow.
Okay. Patricia Wynn Brown, creator of Hair Theater. Learn more about it, WOSU.org/allsides. We'll have a link to her website there. And thanks again, Patty, for being with us today.
You're welcome, and you are a special girl.
We'll be right back with All Sides, or we're done with All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is Terry Gross, and I have about 15 seconds to explain why you should listen to Fresh Air. You should listen because, unlike this little promo, on Fresh Air we have time. Time to spend with incredibly interesting people in the arts, entertainment, and politics. Enough time that we get to know them. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air will be here at noon on today's edition of Fresh Air. The working poor are big business, a whole industry of subprime lenders, check cashers, payday lenders, and pawnbrokers has been built up to lend and then take advantage of the poor. That discussion is on Fresh Air at noon. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News. See a new lineup of public affairs programs Friday nights on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group. And at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
65 degrees in downtown Columbus at 1 minute before 11 o'clock. Sunshine today and a high of 72. Good morning from WOSU.
The oil is still spilling, and even if it wasn't, there's work to be done. We're going to spend a few minutes with an organization established to coordinate the volunteer efforts along the Gulf Coast, and then NBC4 meteorologist Ben Gelber will join us to talk spring weather, severe weather, heavy rains, pop-up thunderstorms, tornado spotting, and all the usual things one discusses with a meteorologist during spring. Hope you can join us with your own questions for Ben Gelber in a few minutes on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.